This seance was recorded on the 17th of December, 1962. Medium Leslie Flynn.
Sitter, Rose Creed. Communicator, Frederick Chopin. This seance is personal to members of the group Soul.
How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I am very well too, and I'm very happy to come and speak to you again tonight.
Frederick? Is that so? Frederick?
You are finding a little difficulty at the moment to know who it is that is speaking to you, madame, huh?
Okay.
No, don't start racking your brain, because I tease you a little bit, huh? Rosa.
Rosa?
All right, I call you Rosa, I call you Madame. What would you like me to call you tonight?
Frederick, it's you.
Of course it's me. But I like my little joke.
Oh, you are the limit.
Oh. I am always the limit. I'm always interested in everything that goes on. I listen with great interest to everything that is said, you know, by different people that may come here. I may not always myself speak, but I'm very interested in everything that transpires.
Can the Valentino come in?
No, it is not very strange at all. After all said and done, he is very much part of this work, as you should know by now, and after all, he has been associated with us all before on several occasions. After all, there was a time when we were very close, he and I.
Yes.
But you wouldn't know me by that, would you?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't told you everything, have I?
You haven't told me everything, but others have.
So
oh, by the way.
The medium and Valentino were once brothers, and many centuries ago, Valentino and I were very close.
In what way?
Oh, so close it was not possible for you to realize it. You don't understand how two people can be one person. You don't
was that the time when you were bending to change?
You don't understand how the blending of souls and the blending of spirit is such that one may share temporarily a physical body when there is a great unity, when there is a great desire to do certain work on a certain world level or a certain type of thing that is important. Sometimes two people merge and they become, for a time, in a sense, from a material point of view, one person. But what is the answer to all these peculiarities in human beings? These dual personalities.
Yes.
And also these people who are neither male nor female. These females that are more like men and so on. All this is due to incarnations, or much of it is due to incarnation, and much of it is due to certain aspects of the self asserting itself so much more than people perhaps can realize. And sometimes a person may behave in a very strange manner, and sometimes from a material point of view they may seem quite normal for a number of years, and then all of a sudden there seems to be a change take place and they become almost a different personality. What is this but dual personalities, or what you would call dual personalities, where the entities from this side who are merging and working in a certain way, perhaps sometimes without even realizing it, and create a peculiar physical act reaction. It is not always possible, of course, for sometimes people who are utilizing a body, whether it is one person or perhaps even two people. And then again, of course, there are the occasions when from this side we impress and we use an individual and they become so sort of, I was only using the word obsessed, but I don't want to give the wrong impression.
Yeah.
And the point is that sometimes, for instance, when the medium is not even working, when for some reason or other he doesn't even realize it, when he's not even thinking about this sort of thing, sometimes, when you least expect it, I pop out with some remark which is of myself. He doesn't even notice he's made it.
Really? Oh, I see what you mean. But, Frederick, was this the time when you were Benvenuto Cellini and Valentino the same?
Yes, but you must try to remember, as I've tried, and we have all tried to try, if we can, to make you understand, that sometimes there is emerging of mentalities, there is emerging of individuals, there is emerging of spirit force, there is emerging of vibrations. Sometimes the body is, how can you say that? We must first clarify this business of the body. This body is something which is animated by life.
Yes.
And behind that body is the temperament, the individuality, the personality, the character, but behind all that are thought forces. But sometimes two people may merge and work on a certain body and give it life or feel the life behind it, and then when the work is finished through that particular body, the individuals may separate, go their separate ways, but they become individual again. I wish I knew how to explain this to you.
You've just come down from the sphere of life, I suppose, and do you inhabit the body at the same time as
the... There's no such thing as a spirit inhabiting a body. That is another fallacy of the fools that try to explain things. We don't actually inhabit the body in the sense that some people seem to think that we are in the body, in the same sense that people think that when a person dies, we sort of creep out of it.
Yes.
It's not like that. You cannot explain it in that way. What one must remember is that there is an etheric body, which is a duplicate of the material body, which is animated by the spirit, which has no body in the same sense. And that is not necessarily inside the physical body, but it is an animating force which is behind the etheric body and the material body. And when the physical body dies, the etheric body still retains its shape and form, and it is that part of man that is recognized as an individual, and it is that part which people communicate with. For instance, the communication, whatever form it may take, when someone comes from this side of life, it is the etheric body that is being used, which is being registered on the more material plane, or nearer to the earth condition anyway, and it is the animating force of the spirit and the mentality behind it which gives life. The whole point is that there's too much talk about bodies. These bodies are merely vehicles of an expression of the mentality and the mind of the spirit, the vitality in the life, the vitalizing force which is life itself. But this etheric body is an important part of man of which he has no conception. People talk loosely about the spirit, but the spirit is something which is indefinable in the sense that it has no shape or form. It is the etheric body that has a shape or form. But of course, when it enters into a more rarefied condition of atmosphere, it takes on a form more purified and more rarefied, but it is still, in a sense, the etheric body has undergone a kind of change which becomes a spiritual body. But the etheric body is what we ourselves merge and use when we enter into the physical body to make a contact. And sometimes, therefore, because the mind of the individual, the spirit, the vitalizing force, the life, everything that is really fundamentally of the higher form of man is a manifesting thing behind all life. It is the manifesting thing behind all appearances of life in man. The point is that the body itself, you call it by a name, you have a shape and you have a form, but that in itself is merely a vehicle of the expression of the spirit. And it is possible for two spirits to animate the physical body, the etheric body, through the physical body. And the etheric body takes on a replica, as I've already said, of the material body. But what is important are the mind and the spirit, which is the motivating force behind the life.
Yes, 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 yes. I see that. Yes, I see, Frederick.
Don't you know that there are people who have a separate individual life in your world to all that would appear on
life? Yes, yes.
And then all of a sudden, something happens.
Yes.
And they change.
Yes.
And people do not understand it. Of course, there are the explanations which sometimes are quite true, that sometimes the body is taken over by an entity from this side, who is outsmarted, or perhaps it may be that in the case of certain people who are motivated by the highest motives and become very spiritual in their development, that they are, as it were, merged into, at least the spirit of an individual merges from the spirit of some higher entity, and there is a blending. You see, if only one can get rid of this idea of the importance of the physical body. For instance, if I am Cellini, and also someone else is also the Saint Cellini, we are talking of physical bodies and etheric bodies, but what is important, the motivating force behind a person, or what appears to be an individual, can often be several. But that does not mean to say that that individual has lost his own personality or character. In fact, it is only the merging, the gradual changes that come through various incarnations and experiences that the spirit evolves and becomes in itself freed of all these hindrances of the material and the astral conditions. These motivating forces which lie behind all life, they are in themselves separate, but at the same time they are blended. When one can rid oneself of this idea that an individual must be completely and absolutely individual, there is no such thing in the higher states of an individual. There is an individual outward form or shape which to all appearances appears as an individual. But at the same time we realize more and more as we progress that we are all part of a great blending of soul and spirit, and that we are all contributing in some shape or form. But in the earlier stages of unfoldment and development, before one reaches a certain point in one's development, shall we say, there are often two or three animating forces or spirits behind one what may appear to be an outfit, such as a body or an etheric double or body. The point is that there are many forms of life, and all these forms of life have their substance and have their meaning and their purpose for a time. But as you progress, you begin to realize that you are part of all sorts of other things and people and conditions. You must never conceive the fact that because a person is named so-and-so, because they are to all outward appearances such and such a person, that they are necessarily completely and absolutely that one person. In a sense, you are only seeing a small aspect of that person. You're not seeing the complete person. You cannot. You are in a world of three dimensions. When you get outside three dimensions to four dimensions, when you realize the immensity of this, you realize that it is futile and stupid to try and put one person in a body and then say that this is this person. You are only seeing an aspect of a person. You are not seeing the complete. You are not realizing fully that the contribution that is made by all sorts of peoples and all sorts of influences from this side. And in a body there may be manifesting various forces, all at work for the common good, all in harmony, all in striving to express and to create a greater personality than that which you can visualize while in the material body. The material body restricts in my own work on your side. I'm still restricted by the material body, but all the time I was conscious of the fact that other forces were at work within me and around me. I didn't understand it, I didn't realize it, but I realized that I was trying to give so much and I could only give so little because of the lack of the piano, for instance, in my music. But there was so much I wanted to find and so much I wanted to do and so much I wanted to express, but there was too many limiting forces in the material sense. But once I could escape from the material body, once I could enter into the greater, fuller realization of things and truth, and then I began to stimulate more and more knowledge and experience over here, and once I was more tuned in and more able, I was able to perceive and to see and to be able to do. There are no restrictions here. We're not confined to three dimensions and physical bodies.
But when you were alive on the earth, did you were there etheric bodies that influenced you? There must have been.
Yes, but I do not understand it. But I do know, and that is why I think it is so important for us always to try and realize that although we may retain an outward form and shape and be recognized when we wish to be, that is, to be recognized by individuals as a certain person, known and loved by certain peoples at certain times, we can be recognized and we can lower, in a sense, if you like, our vibration, I can only use that expression, so that the individuals that love us, and we love too, of course, will be able to say, ah, this is so-and-so, this is the person I love. But when they too have grown and expanded their knowledge and they too have progressed, they realize that it is not individuals that are so important. It is the realization that we are all in some miraculous way of the same spirit, and that when we are loving one person, we are also, without even realizing perhaps at first, loving others. We are loving everything that is of life, everything that is linked with us, because we are all the time expressing not only ourselves, but we're expressing other facets of nature, other aspects of truth, other aspects of individuals that we have known and loved and are part of us. You see, that is why when we talk about this family, we talk about this group, when we talk about individuals and individual lives and what we were once and what we may have accomplished, we are also concerned and all the time hoping to make it understood that we are all responsible one to the other for what we are and what we may become. We are not moving alone, we are not sort of just working out our own salvation. All the time we are assisting, and unconsciously perhaps in the early stages, assisting other people to work out there. That's where this marvelous thing is, that we are all so tuned in and so blended. And the more one develops, one becomes, the more one realizes it. That's why when we talk about incarnations, there is an importance attached to them, of course. But all the time we are working out our own unfoldment. But as we're doing that, we are also consciously and unconsciously affecting others and having them to work out their story. I wish I could explain this to you.
You are explaining very, very well indeed, and very fast.
Well, you see, I know there are things which I think was told you some long time back now that would confuse, at times would be a little difficult to appreciate, understand. But what is important is to realize that we are all in tune. I think once one can realize that we are all part of the compass, we are all part of the harmony, we are all part of the construction, if you like, that one note on its own is useless. There must be a blending of notes, there must be a harmonizing and tuning in. Sometimes the notes can jangle because perhaps sometimes they are not played in tune, in harmony. That is where there is disharmony, and you get that among people, even people in our own group. Sometimes there is a jingling, a jangling, and a disharmony, out of tuneness. But the point is, it is because that particular member has not yet been tuned into our vibrations, has not been brought up to a certain level, so that that person can be in harmony and be contributed to all that we are trying to express and to do. We know the importance of each one of us, but at the same time, we realize that we cannot and we must not expect to be able to achieve or to do or to become completely and absolutely as one until the rest have risen to a certain height. We must try to forget self. At the times we repeat this, we have to forget self. But at the same time, as we forget self, we have to realize that in doing that, we are unfolding ourselves. When we forget self, we have been told often, we are then on the right path for progression. We are on the path of spiritual awareness and consciousness. We are unfolding within ourselves and expressing more than ever we could. The more selfish a person is, that is why it is so wrong for so many people to think that the road of spiritual progression is that you must withdraw from humanity, that you must shut yourself away, and that you must live to yourself, that you must tune, as it were, in harmony all the time, mentally and spiritually, with God. It is not the way, it is not the true way. The true way is to realize humanity's faults and failings, to realize the immensity of the task, and to go out into the world and to battle with it and to fight it, to fight all the things that beset you. Because while you are contributing towards other people's lives and happiness, you are unconsciously, but nevertheless most importantly, unfolding your own self.
Yes, I
do. It's the only way, you know.
Yes, I understand that, Frederick.
When we are on earth as individuals, perhaps when our consciousness is not aware of the tremendous importance of previous existences, when our conception of life is limited, and we are often sad and often unhappy, and we feel sometimes that we are, well, leading a useless existence, perhaps. Sometimes we feel that we've accomplished nothing. Sometimes we feel that there's been no point in our lives. We do not see, we do not realize that possibly what seems to have been failure is not necessarily so in a spiritual sense. It has been a complete and absolute failure, if you like, materially, as you see things materially. Because you judge, not that you do, but many people judge things on a material level. But even you sometimes, you say, oh, I've not done anything, what use am I, and so on, so on, so on. But then again, you don't know. You don't fully realize that you have contributed a great deal in many ways to other people, sometimes consciously and sometimes very much unconsciously. But we are all vehicles. You see, we are on the earth in bodies. We are vehicles of the expression and the unfoldment of the spirit. We are, if you like to say so, sometimes it is true, we seem to be limited. And yet, in a way, there are many things that we might accomplish and might do if we realize within ourselves that there is no limit, only that which we set if we are foolish enough to set it. But once we cast aside all the prejudices and we make our minds open to receive and we make ourselves willing to work and strive for the things that we know are good and fine, which will benefit not necessarily only ourselves but for others. When we blend, when we give out, when we are expressing, when we are doing the things that are the imperative things that are urging themselves through us, so when the spirit, which is the divine force, which is flowing through us, when we are giving out, when we are expressing, there were times when I was able to receive this inspiration and this force with great intensity, and I would work for hours and forget time and forget everything, forget to eat, forget everything, and then I would be exhausted and I'd have to sleep. But when the next day I realized that which I had achieved was really great. There were times when I knew my greatness. But then again I realized deeply in myself it was not me. Although I have the praise, like so many artists have the praise for much they have done, in a sense it is not necessarily only oneself. One realizes the immense power of love, the tremendous force and vitality which flows, which comes, it's something that falls upon us. It's something that just happens in such a strange way, and we know it is there, and we know it is the moment to work, the moment to achieve. We artists always know the right moments that come upon them, when they can achieve and when they cannot. That is why an artist cannot work just to the clock. You cannot say to an artist, sit down and compose this or do that. The artist cannot do it just like that. It is always the spirit that is there, that is bursting through, that is expressing. And then the physical body can take no more. It must give up for a little while. It must relax. It must allow itself to become sort of settled and become, as it were, able to readjust itself. You know, as I've explained, this thing that the world calls genius, it is something the world never understands. Why it is that one man can be a genius and another man can be a failure. Why it is that one man who has great ability and yet never seems to achieve anything, and yet there are these souls who seem to achieve such remarkable things in their lifetime. There are so many that one can point to, great artists, great composers, great poets, great all kinds of greatness in different forms, different ways. But they are all victims, if you like to use the term, of what we term or what you term inspiration, which after all is but the spirit that moves and animates, which comes from not only oneself, but comes from outside oneself, comes from varying forces, of individual forces too, of people's also. That is all that we are trying to express all the time, and we cannot expect all those bodies to be, because they are clumsy things, and they are not always easy to command and easy to use. If only I can explain to you how it is that these things can be, how it can come about that even the most extraordinary person who you would not think could do anything, who appears on the surface to have nothing to offer, and yet that person all of a sudden becomes animated by something which is obviously not of themselves, which makes them do something that is tremendous, which causes the world to sit up and acclaim him as a great poet or a great artist or a great writer or a great musician, whatever it is. Only you can realize it is this great, wonderful force which is life, which is animating us on the highest level. When this comes to us, then indeed are we really making the tremendous progress that is so necessary in our evolution and development. Only you can understand this. I don't know how to explain to you.
But these people who suddenly get inspiration or suddenly become famous, they must have something in them to encourage other entities
Of course they must have something, but at the same time it seems that they are often very old souls, and that they are reborn into the world for a purpose. I don't say in every instance, but in many instances old souls are returned to the earth in a physical body. They are chosen sometimes, and sometimes they have been sent back to do a specific work. But sometimes, of course, the limitations, what seem to be the limitations of the body, they do not seem to achieve very much at first time. But all of a sudden, the tremendous power of the spirit is there, and there you find that they begin to burst their bones, they begin to begin to give forth these things. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to make you understand what I'm trying to say, but I'm trying very hard.
Yes, I know. I should play this over afterwards 3 or 4 times, if you think of the mind, don't worry.
I think once people can rid themselves of the idea that because they are born, and they are baptized, and they grow up, and they develop certain personalities, certain characteristics, that that is the person. That is only an aspect. Only an aspect.
Mm.
It is not the complete. It is only an aspect. It is only one example, one part. It is what is revealed, can we put it like that, revealed to the limited conditions of the earthly body. But behind that there are all sorts of influences brought to bear, all sorts of individuals even. You cannot understand this blending, how they are on different levels, and yet all linked and tuning in gradually, focusing their attention and their thoughts and their inspiration, how they are gradually ascending through, as it were, all these things which make the individual, as far as the human body will allow and the circumstances of their life will allow, helping them to become not only great artists but also great in many other ways. The earthly body is a vehicle. We must look upon it. You can call it a name, you can call it Rossi, you can call it Frederick, you can call it what you like, but it is a vehicle. It is a vehicle that becomes loved by people, and naturally, because you love the individual that shines through the body and the spirit that is manifesting there, you love. But the point is that the body in itself is but the shell. If only you can realize how the etheric body is so beautiful and so glowing, and yet even that is not the reality. That is only the other shell on a higher level. And when you reach the true spirit of the individual, once you really are in complete harmony and peace and blending with that, you realize that you are one. I wish I knew how to explain this tremendous thing.
But this group of ours, Frederick, now there's a lot of you there, over there, and there are a lot of us over here. When all of us from here get over there, what happens?
Well, I think eventually when all the group completely in harmony, completely in tune, and then we shall, not only because of the blending of our personalities and our individual characters and our development of soul and experience, we shall then form a unified whole, if I put it like that, which will enter into a different state of being on a much higher plane still, and we shall evolve further.
I see. And then you don't have any form then at all?
I'm not suggesting that you will not have form. But if only one can appreciate the way to realize this, in some measure you should understand this, because you cannot really say when you love a person that you know a person, because you know certain things about a person, certain aspects of their character, you sort of touch certain parts of them, and you'll become conscious and aware, but at the same time there are things that are mysterious, which you sense and you feel, but you can't touch. You cannot really touch a person. You can touch a physical body, and in the expression of the physical love, but what is it, this tremendous something, that when a person's body ceases to function, this tremendous something that is the reality, when it has finished functioning through the body, is inanimate and has no life, no meaning. You know, in a sense, you see, you must try to realize that it is our souls that are blending, it is our souls that are acknowledging each other. It is our souls that are responsible for everything and are conscious of all things. The bodies that are useful to us, that are given to us for a time, but they are not the reality.
No, but what confuses me is not the bodies, but the etheric body and the spiritual body and goodness knows how many other bodies.
Well, there is the earthly body. There is the etheric body, which is in the etheric atmosphere, which constitutes the replica on a higher level of the physical body. And that is the animating force which vitalizes, which is the spiritual. I won't call it a body, but it is the spiritual force which animates.
Mm.
But you see, whenever we want to be recognized, or whenever we want to be known, we animate and use the etheric body.
Oh, I see. How do they use them?
By thought process, by the power and the realization of self. You see, we come back to self in a sense because we cannot avoid it when we talk in an earthly language. But when we want to be recognized, we think of self. But not in a selfish sense. We think of self as we wish to be recognized. That's why we can assume, that's why I have assumed over a long period, different selves.
Yes. I wonder how many selves you have been around, Frederick.
Oh, I don't know, perhaps 20, 30. I don't know, I can't remember all. So perhaps those that are less important have been diminished. Because when a thing ceases to be important and ceases to have any bearing or meaning, when the thing has finished its purpose, it ceases to exist. But while one thinks, and one remembers, and one has desires, in regard to a certain life or a certain form or whatever you like, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be just an individual. It can be anything. It can be an article of clothing. It can be a piece of furniture. It can be a certain type of piano. I mean, over here I have various pianos. I have various instruments. And as I've told you, on my highest level of development and evolution, I don't need a piano.
Yeah.
But if I come down to an etheric condition, then I have a replica of various pianos that I like, according to the plane upon which I'm manifesting, according upon the plane upon which perhaps I am giving a concert, if you like.
Mm.
On that vibration, there is a piano that is right for me and for that particular recital.
And it's just made for you, or just what?
No, it is made. It depends. If it is on a very much lower level, it is constructed.
Oh.
But if it is on a slightly higher level, it is done by the very vitalizing power of thought. Because after all said and done, thought is the creative theme behind all life.
Yes.
And as if your thoughts are high enough, and real enough, and solid enough, if you like, then the solidity of your thoughts can create solid things. From what you would term from nothingness. But it is the reality of oneself and the power of one's thoughts and desire that can make possible that creative substance.
Mm.
When we come and talk to you, we concentrate our thoughts. We think, and we think on an etheric level, which also at the same time can be rather limiting to what we can get through to you. That is what has been our trouble for a long time, is to being able to vibrate on a lower earthly level, or on a, shall we say, a level nearer the earth, and at the same time think on a high level, because it is like do two opposite things at the same time.
Yes.
But that is what we have been struggling with, what we have been building up for. That's why I think now that we have accomplished a great deal more, you will see the gradual unfoldment of our knowledge to you on this etheric level, but from a higher spiritual thought plane. Near to me. And to one of us, see, I can't stay no more now.
All right,
talk about this again on Thursday, as you say.
Yes.
And don't worry if this or that person comes, because everyone who comes has something of good to say. They may not all succeed, but they have good intentions.
Oh, that I know, that I know. I welcome everyone.
I know you do, but don't worry about anything. So it all right, and you will find that all these little bits together will piece up and they will make sense. These little obscure last week will become clearer the following week or a month later. Leave it to me. I must go, the power's gone.
Well, all right.
See you again on Thursday. Good night. Yes. And I'm glad to see you sitting in the chair.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Nicky, dear.
Yeah. Cyclone.
Eh?
Cyclone.
Yes.
Dear. Oh. That was very good, wasn't it?
You're all ready, I'll put
it up. I think I'm ready.
Wait a minute, Baba, so it's been a little...
Oh, I'm fully wide awake now.
You are?
Hmm. I'm curious to see how much tape there is left.
And I'm good.
Oh, let's see. Quite a bit.